This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Art and Education. Mural crops up. New Children's Museum of Illinois Art highlights Ag by Danette Beckett. Decatur. Visitors at the Children's Museum of Illinois have a bright image of farm life waiting for them in one of the stairwells. Although she has visited the museum in the past, 3-year-old Decatur resident Evelyn Slade brought her grandfather Tom Henkel from Dixon for his first visit. "This is wonderful," he said. "I've been here before," Evelyn said. The new stairwell mural, filled with colorful images of animals, farm buildings, and other bright features, matches well with the rest of the museum, Henkel said. Artist Philip Murillo created the mural gracing the stairway located near the newly added water feature. "They wanted it agricultural-based," he said. "As a very visual person, I immediately started looking for icons and everything that I would think would be involved in agriculture." Murillo, 58, wasn't raised around central Illinois. Most of his upbringing was in the northern area of Illinois and California. "We were city kids," he said. However, he couldn't escape farm life. "When I lived in Elgin, I met farming friends there," he said. "Modesto, where I lived in California, it's all agricultural." Murillo and his assistant, local artist Alec Goss, painted after regular business hours when children weren't able to see them working in the museum. They took approximately 3 weeks to finish the project. Keeping the color scheme simple and vibrant was important to the artist, who used primary and secondary colors throughout the mural. The Children's Museum suggested the images adorn only one wall of the stairwell. "But I said, there's so much more here you could encapsulate the whole area," Murillo said. "I used good design principles and knew where it was going." The audience is also important, according to the artist. The images begin with the sun, then cross paths with chickens, traveling through corn stalks and soybeans, looking up at windmills and silos, before ending with the stars and the artist's signatures under the grant recognition. According to Executive Director Ricky Parker, the museum has been focusing on telling the story of Central Illinois' economy. "That is obviously very focused on agriculture and the industries that go hand in hand with that," she said. The museum recently received grants from Hardy Foundation and from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Illinois Arts Council Agency, and the Decatur Area Arts Council to refresh the arts programming. The DAAC grants were created to fund not-for-profit groups who have a project or a program that is arts-focused, said Jerry Johnson, executive director for the Arts Council. "This is just a stair tower, but now it's more than that," Johnson said. Grant projects have included funding for churches, schools, municipalities, and other nonprofits with a focus on the arts. To submit a grant, the organization must describe the project and provide the dates and a budget. "So we know a lot of the details about the project before we can approve the funding," Johnson said. "They then have to execute the project, prove that they did it, and then we give them the money." The mural has been finished for a few weeks, giving families a colorful scene while walking up, or sometimes running up, to the second floor. "The children notice all the spaces throughout the museum," the administration said. "The staff has been attempting to liven up the various areas of the recreational facility, making them more interactive and more visually engaging," Parker said. "This is a perfect example of doing that." Future exhibits include the climbing exhibit expected to open in May, the new water table exhibit, and landscaping near the open spaces planned for the next couple of years. In the past, teacher Amy Leiden has brought her first grade class from Farmingdale Elementary School, located in Pleasant Plains, to the museum. Although she has visited several times, for many of her students, this is the first field trip to the Decatur Museum. "It's changed a lot," she said about the facility. "I like that there's new activities." The hands-on exhibits are ideal for her students and their friends. "Because there are so many times we say, don't touch," Leiden said. Here, it's encouraged. The colorful mural only adds to the experience, according to the teacher. That is very pretty, Lydon said. This article is accompanied by two full-color photos. The first, attributed to Joseph Ressler, Herald and Review, shows children descending the staircase where the mural is located, and the mural shows ears of corn. It's captioned, "Tessa G. and other first graders from Farmingdale Elementary School look at the new mural while going down the stairs at the Children's Museum of Illinois in Decatur on Tuesday. The painted project was supported by grants from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Illinois Arts Council Agency, and the Decatur Area Arts Council." The second photograph is attributed to Danette Beckett, Herald and Review, and it shows two adult men looking up the stairwell with the corn mural on their right and behind them a very sunny cornfield. And it's captioned, "Philip Murillo, Wright, and his assistant, Alex Goss, are the creators of the new mural in the Children's Museum of Illinois." Immigration. Lawmakers hopeful after bipartisan trip to border, by Brendan Moore, Springfield. Two Illinois Democrats were among a bipartisan congressional delegation that traveled to the southern border last week to see the situation firsthand, with hopes of keeping immigration reform negotiations alive. Representative Nikki Bujinski, Democrat Springfield, and Representative Eric Sorensen, Democrat Moline, made the trip with a fellow Democrat and three Republican colleagues through the Washington, D.C.-based think tank Bipartisan Policy Center. Bipartisan trips to the southern border are rare, given the always politically charged issue of immigration and the particularly dire present humanitarian and security situation. "Those don't happen," Sorensen said. "They're very, I would say extremely rare, to be able to have three Republicans and three Democrats come together and we have the same information in front of us. And so I think what that does is it increases the possibility that we're going to be able to come up with a real solution." Bujinski, whose 13th congressional district covers central and southern Illinois, and Sorensen, whose 17th congressional district includes central and northwestern Illinois, told Lee Enterprises in separate interviews this week that it was the first time they had been to the U.S.-Mexican border since they took office last year. "What I took away from what I saw is that this is a very complicated issue," Bujinski said, "and that we do very much have a broken system in a couple of ways. One is, first and foremost, we do have a crisis at the border that requires immediate attention. In fiscal 2023, U.S. Customs and Border Protection reported a record of more than 2.47 million encounters at the southern border, up from 2.37 million in 2022 and 1.73 million in 2021. Bujinski, after talking to Border Patrol agents and others, said the answer is not another border wall, but more funding for technology improvements that will aid agents in managing the influx of immigrants. She said the second way in which the system is broken is the influx of drugs into the United States. We have to be finding more investment to stop fentanyl, in particular, from getting into this country," she said. Sorensen said the prevalence of fentanyl is often where the border issue hits home the most. Overdose deaths involving the synthetic opioids have skyrocketed in recent years in the United States. It's an issue he hears about from his constituents. Many of the drugs fueling America's addiction come over via the southern border. We need to develop the technology to find the fentanyl if it's smuggled inside the engine of a car, Sorensen said. That's what the cartels are doing. This is a huge business for them, on the order of tens of billions of dollars. I asked when I was riding along one-on-one with a border protection officer, "I've heard some people say that the cartels have better control over the border than the United States or Mexico. Is that true?" And he said in parts of the border region, That's true, because they're so sophisticated and they have so many people on both sides of the border, Sorensen said. Bujinski said making the trip was her top priority this year and that she intentionally wanted to go on a bipartisan trip, a sentiment Sorensen echoed. But the odds of an immigration deal in Washington appear slim, with the 2024 presidential election just over 6 months away. Immigration has been a major campaign issue, with Republicans, including former President Donald Trump, criticizing Biden for the surge of migrants crossing the border. There was some hope earlier this year as a bipartisan group of senators came to an agreement on a comprehensive reform bill that would essentially close the border to asylum seekers if illegal crossings reached an average of 5,000 per day over 7 days or 8,500 in a day. The legislation would have also significantly expedited the asylum process, with cases being processed within a matter of months instead of years. It would also have made the standards for seeking asylum tougher. But the effort was essentially killed when Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican Louisiana, came out in opposition. Sorensen, who won by just 4 percentage points in 2022, is once again being targeted for defeat by national Republicans. The party has nominated former Circuit Court Judge Joe McGraw, whose campaign has tied Sorensen to Biden in a negative critique of the administration's border policy. The Moline Democrat said he did not want to make immigration a political issue, arguing that we're farther and farther away from actually having a solution when that happens. I can't help when a political foe of mine wants to gin up things to actually help him win over the majority, when I'm actually doing the work, Sorensen said. And that's where I am today. Bujinski said she still holds out hope that a bipartisan deal can be reached. She said Democrats and Republicans agree on many of the issues, including that the asylum process is overrun due to low staffing and some seeking the status who take advantage of a broad definition of asylum. These are places where Democrats and Republicans agree, Bujinski said. We need to find the political will to make this a reality, because what's happening on the border, and specifically my concerns around the fentanyl that is crossing the border, has to stop. Douglas County bird tests positive for West Nile virus by Scott Perry, Tuscola. The first bird to test positive for West Nile virus in Illinois for 2024 was found in Douglas County. The Illinois Department of Public Health said the specimen was collected by Douglas County Health Department staff on April 2nd in Villa Grove. The early report of the first bird comes following a mild winter and spring. The news of the first bird with West Nile virus so early in the season is a signal for Illinois residents to begin protecting themselves and their horses from vector-borne diseases, said IDPH Director Dr. Samir Vohra. We urge everyone, and especially older people and those with weakened immune systems, to take precautions to protect themselves and their families from mosquitoes and the viruses they carry by wearing insect repellent and eliminating standing water around their home where mosquitoes breed. West Nile virus is transmitted through the bite of a Culex mosquito, commonly called a house mosquito, that has picked up the virus by feeding on an infected bird. Common symptoms include fever, nausea, headache, and muscle aches. Symptoms may last from a few days to a few weeks. Most people infected with West Nile virus will not show any symptoms. However, in rare cases, severe illness, including meningitis, encephalitis, or even death, can occur. People older than 60 and individuals with weakened immune systems are at higher risk for severe illness from West Nile virus. Additional information and data can be found at IDPH's West Nile virus website. Decatur High School seniors learn about Enrich at conference by Valerie Wells, Decatur. Trinity Brown is pretty set on becoming a teacher and pursuing a master's degree in clinical psychology. However, when the MacArthur High School senior attended the Enrich Conference at Richland Community College on Wednesday, she was intrigued by the healthcare professions. "It was pretty interesting," she said, "but I still want to go into something with kids." Jaden Young wanted to be a veterinarian, but is also interested in political science. "I have a thing for animals," he said, "but I want to get more in-depth in labs, in biology, and things like that, too." Enrich held the annual conference for Decatur Public Schools seniors to show them options they may not have considered. Richland, said the Reverend Courtney Carson, who spoke to the entire group before smaller groups embarked on tours of the college, can provide training that will lead to a job in 2 years, and sometimes less, or can provide the foundation to move on to pursue a bachelor's, master's, or higher degree, if that's what they want, and at a much lower cost. "I don't own my master's degree," Carson said with a laugh. "I'm still paying it off." His son, however, whose 21st birthday was Wednesday, learned to be a welder at Richland and makes a very good living, owns his own home, and travels for his work, Carson said. He has no college debt to pay. Carson was instrumental in organizing the Enrich program, said Gina Taylor, director of Essential Skills for Enrich. "He cares a lot about where you're going and what your destination is," she said, "because he cares that much about you." Enrich is designed to help adults, including those just graduated from high school, find a way to learn the skills necessary to make a good living, in spite of the barriers that they might face. Students in the program learn workplace skills, but also the skills to enable them to manage their money, create good life and work habits, become entrepreneurs if that's their goal, and be successful. Surgical Technology, one of the programs the students visited during the conference, is a 2-year program with a national certification for successful completion, which means graduates can work in any state without needing further certification. Surgical technologists stand at the surgeon's side during operations and assist, and while specialization is an option, they will learn procedures for every kind of surgery and be competent in all of them. "The lab at Richland includes a fully functional operating room," said Brooke Oliver, professor and program director of surgical technology, "and if necessary, could be used for real surgeries." The Emergency Medical Technician Program, also a 2-year program, has a fully functional ambulance for a lab, allowing students to get the hands-on training they'll need to be ready to go to work. "This is an actual ambulance that was brought in piece by piece, and then they put it together," said Tasha Jones, Dean of Allied Health Professions. "They learn how to read arrhythmias. They learn how to shock and awe if a heart needs to be brought back. They're able to do that as well." She pointed out how tight a fit is inside an ambulance and how EMTs need to be able to do their work at close quarters, and urged students to climb inside and see what it's like. Carl Evans, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning instructor, told students there's a shortage of trained people in that field, so jobs are plentiful, but it's not for everyone. "You're going to get dirty," he said. "You're going to be up on ladders. Sometimes you put in long hours." "But the work is necessary," he added, "and at the end of the 2-year training course, students are ready to go to work and make a good living." This article is accompanied by 2 full-color photographs attributed to Valerie Wells Photos, Herald and Review. The first is captioned, "Kyler Dick and Christian Broads, both MacArthur High School seniors, check out the inside of the working ambulance at Richland Community College's healthcare program." The second, which shows people around a bedside with hospital bedside with a dummy in it, is captioned, "Jaden Young checks on the condition of one of the simulators at Richland Community College's healthcare program during a tour for Decatur Public School seniors on Wednesday, as Trinity Brown, Brianna Smith, and Comney Patterson watch." Richland Community College, "Students to build feeding station for Scoville Zoo camels," by Valerie Wells, Decatur. "The Scoville Zoo camels can do away with a lot of brush in no time at all. Mulberry trees are a favorite. People tend to think of camels as desert creatures, with nothing but sand around, but the camels at Scoville Zoo came from the Gobi Desert in Asia. And they eat scrubby trees and shrubs, said Dave Webster, assistant director of the zoo. They can even eat cactus, thanks to finger-like projections in their mouths that prevent thorns from getting stuck. Zoo staff have long looked for trees with wide forks in them to use to prop up the camels' food, but the camels naturally ate the trees as well as the foliage provided, keeping the staff hopping, finding them more Y-shaped trees, and now they don't have to. Richland Community College welding students Jake Olfke and Tyler Joplin have made Y-shaped stands out of heavy-duty pipe provided by Mason Manufacturing, which zoo staff picked up at Richland on Tuesday. "These suckers are not going to break," Olfke said. The two young men were tapped to do the work because they had finished their final projects for the semester ahead of the rest of the class, he said. "I always wanted to do something for the community and hadn't found an opportunity," Joplin said. Both will graduate in May. That community service aspect is also why Mason Manufacturing got involved, said President Mary Ann Brown, who was present with Megan Zindel, Director of Operations, to watch the stands head to their new home. "We partnered with Richland," Brown said. "They knew we had the pipe in stock, and we like being involved in things that help our community." This article is accompanied by one full-color photo attributed to Valerie Wells and captioned, "Jake Olfke, one of the welding students who helped build the feeding station for the Scoville Zoo camels, works on getting the Y-shaped piece free of the Richland Community College truck so it can be loaded in a Decatur Park District truck for transportation to the zoo." Police: "Raped child became pregnant," by Tony Reed, Decatur. A man's history of repeatedly raping a child was finally revealed when the teenage girl became pregnant with his baby, a sworn affidavit says. The Decatur child had an abortion in September, and DNA testing of fetal tissue by the state police crime lab showed a 99.999% probability that Ricardo D. Contreras, 21, was the father. Decatur Police Department Detective Eric Matthews said the child revealed what was happening to her in August as the pregnancy developed. The child advised that after the most recent incident of abuse, she started throwing up in the mornings and she missed her period, said Matthews, who signed the affidavit. She said she knew something was wrong and told her parents what had been happening. She said her mother got her a pregnancy test and they found out she was pregnant. Interviewed by police, the girl said she remembers Contreras had started sexually abusing her about 4 years ago. The affidavit said Matthews also sexually abused a younger girl. Contreras appeared April 24th in Macon County Circuit Court, waived a preliminary hearing, and pleaded not guilty to two charges of predatory criminal sexual assault. He also denied four counts of sexual assault involving force and two charges of criminal sexual abuse. Matthews said when he had been confronted with the accusations against him, Contreras denied assaulting the younger girl and claimed sexual relations with the older girl was consensual. Judge Lindsay Shelton denied the defendant pretrial release after ruling he posed too great a danger to public safety and also posed a flight risk. Contreras is due back in court for a pretrial hearing June 5th. In brief, Decatur shooting sends teen to hospital. Decatur: a teenager was taken to a Decatur hospital Tuesday night for treatment of a bullet wound. According to Sergeant Steve Hagemeyer of the Decatur Police Department, officers were dispatched at approximately 8:50 p.m. Tuesday to the neighborhood of 16th and Main Streets, in reference to shots being fired. They found multiple shell casings in the 1500 block of East Main Street, he said. While officers were on their way to the location, they received notification that a victim had arrived at a local hospital. Upon arrival, police found a 16-year-old female who had bullet graze the buttocks. A witness said he and the victim had been socializing on a porch when they heard the gunshots, After running into the home, they realized the female had been shot. Decatur seeks input on electric vehicle infrastructure needs. Decatur. The city of Decatur is seeking public feedback about electric vehicle knowledge and where charging stations and other infrastructure would best be deployed in the city. Officials said the survey at surveymonkey.com/r/YCMNPRX will help the city's consultant better identify information, electric grid, and infrastructure needs in Decatur and Macon County. The city's consultant will use the results to prepare an electric vehicle readiness plan with funding support from the Illinois Department of Transportation. The deadline for taking the survey is May 15th. Decatur's Barn Colony artists to present annual spring show. Decatur. Barn Colony artists will hold its annual spring show throughout May at the Ann Lloyd Gallery in the Madden Art Center. The free Live After 5 reception will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday, May 3rd, featuring the works of Millikan University students and Gallery 510 artists. Retired art instructor Gil Rocha will be the judge for the show. A dedication to Barbara and Doug Dove will be presented during the reception. Barbara Dove is a former executive director of Gallery 510. Her encouragement for young artists created the Arts and Education Spring Show and the Young Artist Showcase. Douglas Dove supported his wife through her artist endeavors until his death in 2023. Playing 5-9 mini golf to be held at Overlook Course, Decatur. The Decatur Park District will be hosting Playing 5-9, a women's-only miniature golf event, complete with 18 holes of golf and treats along the way. The event will be from 5 to 9 p.m. Thursday, May 9th, at Overlook Adventure Park in Nelson Park. Tickets are $25, which will include surprises and special treats, drinks, and appetizers at various holes. Vendor merchandise and services, which will include permanent friendship bracelets, a Lululemon pop-up shop, hair tinsel, will be available for purchase. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit decatur-parks.org. Briefly, Kenya. Dozens of tourists were evacuated by air from Kenya's Masai Mara National Reserve Wednesday after more than a dozen hotels, lodges, and camps were flooded amid heavy rains. LGBTQ+. Alabama lawmakers advanced a bill Wednesday to ban teachers from displaying LGBTQ+ pride flags on public school property and extend the state's ban on teacher-led discussions about sexual orientation and gender identity. Iran. The head of the UN nuclear watchdog will travel to Iran next week as Tehran's nuclear program enriches uranium a step away from weapons-grade levels, and international oversight remains limited, officials said Wednesday. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review dated Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. Please stay tuned.